A husband's love must be self-sacrificing. I initially wrote that a husband should be willing to die for his wife, but I changed it. I changed it because I realized that sometimes it is easier to die for our wives than to do the dishes.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Thus far in this Happy Home series by Pastor Brian Grant, we have learned the secret to having a happy home is by following God's Word in family interaction. Initially, we learned that the first secret to having a happy home is when the family members are in line with the instruction of Ephesians 5:21, let everyone be in subjection to one another. Last week, we learned what it means and what it does not mean for the wife to be in subjection to her own husband. But this week, Pastor Brian will again bring God's Word to bear on what it means for the husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. So we invite you to once again open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings his message, Secrets to a Happy Home, Part 3. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A couple had been fighting for several weeks over the purchase of a new car. The husband wanted to buy a new truck. Like somebody in the back, you know, we have some truck guys here. So he wanted a new truck, and the wife, she wanted a fast sports car. Well, the fight got rather heated until finally the wife said to him, she said, listen, I want something that can go from 0 to 180 in under 8 seconds. And she said, that's all there is to it. She said, my birthday is coming, and you better surprise me. If you don't surprise me, she says, it's going to get awfully lonely around here for you. Well, her birthday came, and she went out to see if her sports car was there. There was no sports car in the garage. She came back inside looking for her husband. He was not in there, so frustrated and rather upset, she went into the bathroom to get dressed. And as she walked into the bathroom, there was a brand new gift. There was a special gift, all gift wrapped. It had a beautiful red ribbon on it. It was her special birthday present that could go from 0 to 180 in less than 8 seconds. It was a brand new scale. You know, we've been talking about secrets to a happy home. And I want you to know, guys, that's not one of the secrets to a happy home. I don't suggest that you try to keep your wife happy by buying her a brand new scale. I may say something more about that later on. But you know, we've said something so far that I just want to recap before we move forward. Because, you know, we've been pointing out that the Bible and these 17 verses right here in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us more about the family than perhaps any other passage of Scripture. And so we hope that if you're just joining us today for the first time, that you'll come back next month as I bring this series to a close, Secrets to a Happy Home. Because our homes have problems, but God is the God who knows more than any marriage counselor or family counselor you can go to. And right here in these verses are some incredible secrets as to how to have a happy home. Put this in your notes. So far we have said that a happy home, God's design for a happy home, is a home in which every family member submits to the others out of reverence for Christ. And if you're here as a visitor, please know that the outline of the messages is in your bulletin and you can fill in if you care to. A home in which every family member submits to the others. And I shared with you that healthy relationships are based on mutual submission. Healthy relationships are based on mutual submission. It's not about the wife submitting only, although we're going to come there. But all of us need to submit to each other. The second thing I pointed out last week was God's design for a happy home is a home in which the wife is committed to submitting to her husband. But the third thing, that's what we want to talk about today, is that God's design for a happy home is a home in which the husband makes Christ's love for the church the model for loving his wife. And if you're a husband or a man, I want you to wake up. If you never stayed in church, alive in church before, stay awake today. Because if you're married, you need to hear what God has to say. And if you're not married yet, boy, it would really help you to get started on a good foot. Because so many guys here done messed up a lot already. It would be so great if you could get it before the time. Amen. A home in which the husband makes Christ's love for the church the model for loving his wife. And last week, if you remember, and if you haven't weren't here for the other messages, you can get them at the tape room, whether a DVD or a CD, as the case may be. But last week I shared that one of the most important purposes of marriage is a spiritual one. And I took you to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, where the Bible says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And it sounds as if it's speaking about how you and I leave our father and mother and cleave to her wife. And it is speaking about that. But then it makes an incredible connection. He said, "This is a great mystery, but I'm really speaking concerning Christ and the church." You see, the one of the biggest purposes for marriage is a spiritual one. And one of the big purposes here, it is teaching us about the relationship between Christ and the church. In marriage, are you with me? In marriage, a husband ought to be modeling Christ. And in marriage, a wife ought to be modeling the church. So the husband is modeling the way Christ loves the church, and the wife is modeling the way the church submits to Christ. And I'm going to make a statement here that I know is factual, whether you want to agree with it or not. Here's what I'm going to say this morning. If every husband and every wife here this morning committed themselves to modeling the role that God has outlined in this passage, I guarantee you our marriages would be like heaven on earth. You say, "Pastor, you don't know my marriage." You say, "Pastor, I don't feel nothing anymore for my spouse. The love has died. It's hopeless." After the love is gone, what are you going to do, Pastor? Well, all I can tell you, my God is a God who is in the resurrection business. Am I right about that? Oh, you see, we're talking about a God who knows how to resurrect, who knows how to bring dead things back to life. And I'm here to tell you, I've seen this God resurrect some dead marriages. Oh, I haven't been a pastor a long time, but I have seen it with my own two eyes. I've seen some dead marriages come back to life. I've had sisters calling and saying, "Pastor, this is the happiest we have ever been in our marriage, although the marriage was stone cold dead." And I want to tell you, the God who did that can do that for you. And I'm here, listen, what we need to do, husband and wife, is to commit to following God's model. You see, unfortunately, some of us grew up without understanding God's model. But hey, now that you're hearing it, the problem is, are you going to submit or are you going to fight against God's model? Okay, let's keep moving. God expects that every husband should make Christ's love for the church the model for loving his wife. So today I want to share with you three aspects of what a husband's love should look like. Amen. Guys, are you ready? Guys, are you ready? All right. Three aspects of what a husband's love should look like. Number one, it should be sacrificing love. It should be a sacrificing love. Here's what Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Write this down. A husband's love must be self-sacrificing. A husband's love must be self-sacrificing. I initially wrote that a husband should be willing to die for his wife, but I changed it. You say, Pastor, why did you change it? I changed it not because I wasn't willing to die for my wife. I changed it because I realized that sometimes it is easier to die for our wives than to do the dishes. Let me explain what I mean. There are a whole lot of men, if I were to ask them today, you see, we guys are macho, macho, macho men. If a burglar broke in the house, the same husband who's having the drama with his wife, guess what he would do? No, he wouldn't run. Guys, can you imagine they say we would run? No, we ain't running. We get a stick or we get the, you know, those of you who got a piece. I don't got no piece. But you might. He's going to do what he can to defend his wife. There is something in us. Am I right, guys? There is something in us that want to defend our wife, even if we're having drama. So you see, the guy might say, you see, if I put it that a husband must be willing to die for his wife, all the guys feel good. I'm willing to die for my wife. The problem is, are you willing to go to the grocery store when the game is on? You see, that's where the rubber meets the road. You see, what God is talking about here is a self-sacrificing love. You see, Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her. The emphasis is that Jesus, there was no sacrifice too great. Are you with me, guys? Are you still with me, guys? Are you still with me? The love of Jesus, the love that the Bible is talking about, is a love where we don't consider anything too great. There is no sacrifice that is so great that I am not willing to do for my wife.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh my goodness. Guys, stay with me, guys. This is tough stuff. The ladies thought they had a rough time last week when we spoke about something. Guys, we're in bigger trouble. We are in much bigger trouble. What God is asking us to do is big, big, big stuff. You see, we are accustomed. So, of course, things are starting to change. But for many centuries, this world was so man-centric. Men had it any way they wanted. But God says it's the other way in marriage. It's interesting that God is writing this at a time where women are property. Women are trash. A man can just divorce his wife because she didn't cook well. Did you know that when this is being written? A woman cannot divorce her husband, but a man is free to do whatever he wants to. And God says at that very time, listen, all those of you who think this Bible is old-fashioned, I want you to know that there has nothing that has been so revolutionary as far as the cause of women and children are concerned than this Bible. This Bible is the core of freedom. And God says to the husband, he says, husband, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. You need to love your husband with a self-sacrificing love that you will do anything for her. There is no sacrifice too great. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Hold your Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, but Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found some pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I don't want you to miss what this is all about. The Lord Jesus is being described as this merchant seeking beautiful pearls, and the church is being described as the pearl of great price. And it says the kingdom of heaven is like this merchant who is looking for a pearl, and when he finds one pearl, he sells everything he has. Folks, the church, you know, some of you, guys, I wish I had 2 hours. Because we need to, guys, we need to talk. You see, you say, oh, my wife ain't that, she's not that impressive. I want you to find out that when Jesus found the church, it wasn't that impressive. We were messed up, but Jesus saw what he was going to do with us, what we were going to be. And the Bible says that Jesus, as messed up as we were, he gave up everything that he had. And this is what Ephesians chapter 5 is describing for us, when it says he died for us. There was no sacrifice that was so great that Jesus was not willing to make for the church. And I need to ask you, young husband, old husband, no matter who you are you there yet? Can I be honest? I ain't there yet. I got beaten up by this message. I told my wife, I said, I apologized. 43 years of marriage and I haven't gotten it together yet. By God's grace, I'm a working process, but by God's grace, some of what God is saying in this passage, I am hoping and trusting God to give me the grace and the determination to be this type of husband. And I want to ask you, young man, older man, are you willing to join me on that journey? Later on, I'm going to ask some of you husbands who are willing to identify with me and say, listen, I admit that I am not all I ought to be, but by God's grace, I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to ask you to get up and let's stand here and hold hands and say, God, help us. We have a tendency to feel that the biggest problem in our lives, is in our marriages, is our wife, because she's so ornery and she's so this and that. Guys, the biggest problem in your marriage is you. He said, Pastor, you're not in my house. You don't know my business. How you know what's the problem? Here's the problem. You have not loved your wife. I don't even know Annette, and I can tell you. You have not been loving your wife as Christ loved the church. We're not there yet. And my friend, God has made a wife a responder. And if you would love her the way God expects. Wives, help me out here. How many of you, if your husband loved you to the degree that he would give his life to make sure that all your needs are taken care of, and he is going to do everything to make you happy and comfortable and satisfied and fulfilled, is that the type of man you're going to kick and scream at, or is that the type of man you say, thank you, Jesus? So guys, listen, until we get it together, let's not point the finger at the wife. Guys, don't come and beat me all up together. He said, you're letting my wife off. No, I'm not letting your wife off the hook at all, because God already talked to her last week where he said, submit to your own husband. But what a joy it would be to submit to a man who loves me. What a joy it would be to submit to somebody who regards me. Listen, that he would give up anything, as the passage says, that he gave away everything that he had so that he could acquire that pearl. What a joy it would be. Heaven would come down at your house. Hallelujah. But listen, I was talking to a couple not so long ago, and after sharing how a husband ought to love his wife, I said to the wife, you need to know how to big up your husband. Now, she wasn't a Jamaican. Although I use a Jamaican expression, she wasn't Jamaican, but she knew exactly what I was talking about. Ladies, are you getting what I'm talking about? When I said, Wives, you need to learn to big up your husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? Big him up. Make him feel big. Ladies, there's probably nothing in the world as fragile as a man's ego. And so the Bible, God who made us, he tells you as he wraps up Ephesians chapter 5, what does he say to the wife? He says, husband, love your wife, and wives, make sure you respect your husband. Make sure you admire him. Make sure you respect him. Make sure he knows he's the man. So what role is the... Let's go back over this. What role is the wife playing? She's playing the role of what? The church. So when we come to church, what do we do in regards to Jesus? How do we make Jesus feel? What do we do? We worship him. We sing songs. And we said, Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are so incredible. Oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, you are amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. Isn't that what we do? If you're supposed to be playing the role of Jesus, are you saying to your husband, you're just so amazing. Every day I'm just so excited about you. Are you doing that, ladies? Are you picking him up? Because part of this whole issue of respect has to do with bigging him up, making him feel special, making him know how important he is. You are playing the role of the church. He is playing the role of Christ. He is to love you as Christ loved the church, but you have your responsibility. And I know some of you just appreciate your husband, but you just keep it inside. I don't want his head to swell too much. Do you know when you do that, you're disobeying God? Your husband needs to hear from your lips. So you see, you are part of the trouble too. You are part of the trouble. You think I was only going to beat up the guys? You are part of the trouble. Can you imagine what it would do to the man if when he put air in that tire, you said, I noticed you put air in my tire. I appreciate it so much. He checked your oil. Here's the wife. He ought to do it. It's his job. Oh, he put out the garbage every week. It's all right to say, you know, I appreciate the things you do. I hope you understand where I'm going. Ladies, are you going to commit to doing that? Are you going to big him up? I use that term because I believe it will stick in your mind. Big him up. Let him know how special he is. Respect him. Admire him. A husband loves you. It's a self-sacrificing love. And thank God, listen, when the Lord Jesus gave the church this self-sacrificing love, the church has responded in bigging him up. Amen. But guys, it must be a selfless love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, love seeks not her own. In other words, love does not pursue its own interests. And what we're saying here from God's word is so contradictory to how we were raised. In some cultures, they're still killing girl babies because everybody only wants a boy baby. That is still happening today. So we're developing societies where men feel that they're better than women, but God does not believe that at all. God does not support that whatsoever. And so a husband's love must be selfless. It's not about me. Christ did not love the church so that the church might do things for him. He loved the church so that he might do things for the church.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.